shit. Take some. I heard you hit it.
No.
Yeah.
Then hit nothing. Uh-huh. What are you talking about?
I heard you, boy.
Nope.
Got some reverb on me now.
Are you ready?
For?
Some banter.
Banter?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Let's talk some shit.
Let's do it.
What episode is this?
I have absolutely no idea. You know how long it's been since you and I have been in this room?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's ridiculous.
You decided to make a trip and go on vacation. And
No, you first.
No, I did too. Yeah. Actually, I think you went away too, or something was going on that we had to pause and do a bunch at a time.
Something.
And then I went on vacation. This is number 20. Number 20. Our last one was with Mr. Paul Andreoli.
Andreoli. Yeah. We've been gone for a while. We have a lot of things to catch up on, don't we?
Yeah, let's just do some banter. I like banter. Yeah. It's all good.
This is going to be not a dumb episode, but nothing too content-oriented. Just talking.
Just talking, some entertainment for some people that are really, really, really bored, and they need really, something to listen to. Yeah.
Really bored. So what's first? Virginia?
What do you want? Okay, let's start with your recent life events. What have you done?
My recent life events? I don't think I've really had much.
Since the last podcast, are you kidding me? Since we did the podcast with Paul, a lot has happened.
Yeah.
Virginia,
I went up to Connecticut to see somebody special. We went to Homestead, Florida for Frank's event.
What did you go to Connecticut to see? Why don't you explain? People want to know. Yeah. Come on.
Go see my girlfriend. Olivia.
Your girlfriend or your father-in-law? Or your future father-in-law? Or both.
My girlfriend, Olivia, and her father, Ron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time there?
Yeah, it was fun. Went up for a weekend and surprised her. She had no idea, so just showed up and we had a good time. Hung out.
And did he take you to a fun fly?
I showed up on a Friday and Saturday went to a local Connecticut fun fly, which is cool, and saw some of the good old boys like Chris and Greg Barbuto and Josh from A-Main and Mike Lewandowski and some other dudes, but man, was it cold up there. I think it was negative 43 degrees.
Not negative.
It felt like positive. It felt like
You're so used to the weather here that it's going to be very difficult for you to ever get back up north. No way.
Terrible. I can't.
It's tough. It's tough.
I don't know why anyone would move back north.
Yeah.
No need.
I agree.
Anyway, yeah, Virginia, Homestead, Florida. Event, Miami event, Frank's event, that's about it for me.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, that's about it.
Nothing else.
You went on vacation. What about you?
Well, after Virginia, we went up to the mountains, North Carolina, to ride the bikes for a little bit, and we were kind of forced to stay a couple, two, three extra days due to some inclement weather on the way back home.
Interesting.
So, freaking hurricane. I forgot the name anymore.
Michael.
But I feel bad for the people in the panhandle of Florida. They had it really, really rough.
Yep.
And, but other than that, you know, I just, that was it. You know, aside from some personal family issues that came up during that time. Mm-hmm. Not even worth getting into it. But yeah, it's not a whole lot other than that, and just trying to get back to just rushing, you know, get caught up again only for like 3-4 days to then go to Homestead.
Yeah.
To Frank's event. So let's talk a little bit about some of these events, because I think the more I go to these events, the more fun I have, man. It's like events have gotten so small now that they really suck horribly for business, but they are so much more fun than they used to be.
Virginia is a prime example. Virginia is probably the most fun you can have at an open farm field in Spotsylvania, Virginia.
Yeah, no question.
It really is. But I've always started from the beginning, because your trip to Virginia started out a little interesting once you got there, didn't it?
Well, it was uneventful. We left on a Wednesday afternoon, like what, 3-4 o'clock or something like that.
Something like that.
You know, for the listeners that don't know, we have to drive, don't have to, but we drive a truck and we're towing a very, very heavy fifth wheel type camper / toy hauler.
Yeah.
So it, you know, for safety reasons, I like to stay under 65 miles per hour. So it takes, and you know, you got to stop at truck stops.
Mm-hmm.
The whole process, it just takes much longer to go anywhere. So we left on Wednesday hoping that we would stop, you know, around midnight and get, you know, a 6-7 hour sleep, you know, night, you know, somewhere in a parking lot, whatever, and then finish the drive Thursday. We got into all kinds of traffic and everything, mm-hmm. but, you know, we made it okay. But by the time we got there, it was like probably 4, maybe 5 o'clock on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been pouring as far as we could tell. And I was terrified because I know that field just, man, that field can get nasty when it rains.
For whatever reason.
And I wanted to pull in straight. I knew better not to back in or do anything stupid. I wanted to pull in straight. And it was like as if there was like air under the grass. There was like, it. I mean, the camper literally just dug a hole 1.5 feet deep.
You into just the sank. You sank all the way.
And there was nothing we could do at that point. And Casey, the owner of the property, you know, he said, well, just leave it here. I mean, it's the forecast was perfect, right? So it's like, it's going to dry out and then you'll come out on Sunday. Well, mm-hmm. we kind of try to dig out some of that mud and stuff. And like, we lifted it up with the jacks and kind of made it stable. And like, it was fine for the weekend. It was sticking out a little bit too far into the flight line, but it was still safe. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
And needless to say, I guess the mud didn't dry out enough.
Not at all.
Sunday, man, when we left, I mean, Casey himself had to come in with one of his tow trucks and winch us out. You know, it was like my truck at full power, his winch at full power, and he got us out. But needless to say, we left our mark behind.
It certainly was, did.
Quite interesting, to say the least.
Certainly did.
But the weather was beautiful. It was perfect. Like, no complaints.
The forecast was bad, but once we got there and after the rain stopped on, what was that, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday was good.
Yeah, Thursday when we got there, it was drizzling and stuff, and then it stopped, but then after that, it was perfect.
Yeah, it was great.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We stayed there Sunday until 4 or 5 in the evening, and it was perfect. Perfect mm-hmm. day. Perfect weather.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. It's a good time. But something notable that I have here in the show notes is that you and Casey Campbell did a Tortuga tandem.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, how'd that end up? I think you did pretty well, but Casey, not so much.
Casey says that he was, at some point we crossed each other and he started looking at my plane. And needless to say, his airplane got destroyed. But, you know, I'm a very kind person, so I gave him mine right before I left.
That's awesome.
Here you go, buddy.
His Have fun. Hit so hard. It just exploded as soon as it hit the ground.
And he was so bummed out because they had a jet event the following weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to fly during that event. And he was so bummed out because we didn't even have them yet in stock.
Right.
So there was no... ironically, we actually got the shipment literally like the Monday after, so he would have had time to get one, but we didn't know. So I hooked him up. I gave him mine, but he was very appreciative, super happy. But yeah, I feel bad, man. He destroyed that thing. I mean, all the electronics, everything survived, but I mean, he went in probably at 130, 140, 150, I don't know how fast, straight into the ground.
Yeah, like, knife edge, right to the corner, right into the ground. Yeah. He looked at the wrong plane and never let off throttle. Poor guy, but anyway.
So how about you? Did you had company driving up there, huh?
I did, yeah. I picked up our buddy James Van Hook. You guys probably remember him from like 3 episodes ago. He was the car guy. So I left my apartment about 3 a.m., and he lives in Savannah, Georgia, so I picked him up around 6. And we just hit the road and went straight through. Stopped a few times for coffee and food and stuff. But I think we got there around maybe 2. Got to the hotel, checked in, hung out, then went out to the field just in time to see Bert's camper sink all the way to the axle.
Yep.
Yeah, which is not good. But
literally all the way to the axle, yes.
All the way to the axle. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was easy. He and I just drove up and told stories and passed on wisdom. But that was cool. It was good to travel with James. He's a grumpy turd, but he's fun to hang out with.
Yeah, he actually is. It's a love-hate relationship with him. I love the guy to death, and he drives me insane, too. and I give him as much shit as I possibly can, so I'm sure I drive him insane too.
He takes it well though.
but you know, interestingly enough, needless to say, people need to go to that event because it's, it's just an awesome event. But it's not as big as the spring one. So for you guys listening, you know, if you have plans, if you live anywhere near, you know, the Midwest or the Northeast part of the country, and you want to go to the one of the best, if not the best event in that area for sure, you have to make a trip to the Spring Fling, which is usually, I believe, the first weekend in May. I'm not totally sure, but they make announcements, posts on Facebook and everywhere else. It's a beautiful club. It's freaking awesome. The camaraderie level there is like, it's a 10 out of 10. I mean, you can't go wrong. Everybody hangs there. Now, Casey had this crazy freaking DJ system, like a full bore with lights and everything, mixing music, and you know, we were dancing. I mean, it was awesome. The nighttime party is super cool.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just awesome. If you're into camping, bring a tent, or you know, if you have an RV or a camper or whatever. If not, just pitch a tent. If the weather forecast is good, normally it's really, really nice.
Yeah.
What I noticed there is either like perfect or completely wash, like there's no in between. Like
You have a better chance in the spring for good weather, and in the fall I've seen it a few times be really cold.
Yeah,
but in the spring it's usually okay.
Yeah, the spring is usually
but
nice.
Yeah, just bring a tent because they just put in some real bathrooms and showers there,
and you know, yeah, absolutely, they have good the showers are really, really nice.
Yeah, they're
really
sweet.
Nice. Like I forgot who it was it you were staying with me or Gator or somebody, like on one of those trips, and whomever it was, never like used the camper shower. Always went out to the other showers because they're roomy, they're big, they're nice.
Yeah, it was me when I stayed with you in the spring. Every time I had to take a shower, I just did it there because they're regular full size showers. They got hot water, cold water, whatever you want.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
cool.
They're nice, but
very nice facility.
Yeah, but we got some good flying in. Not the whole team, but a good amount of the team was there. We had the cooks and Steve Yoon, and you know, our team manager, Faithless Leader Ron Corus, was there.
Yeah.
Supporting our new team shirts.
I was happy. It was a good weekend. We were sporting our new team shirts. I think it came out awesome.
Yep.
Like the whole camaraderie within the team and in and out of the team, like everybody that we hang with was like just a good overall time.
Yeah, it was good. Lots of flights, too many crashes, but
lots of flights. Yeah. I didn't fly as much. I don't get to fly as much anymore. I don't know why.
It's hard. Between talking to people and then, you know,
I got solid stuff. Probably like 6 flights over the whole weekend, which is not a lot, but you know, 3 flights a day is not horrible.
Not bad.
It's not as many as I like to put in sometimes, but you know, like you said, sometimes you get distracted, you get busy, or you just hang out with people and like you go watch somebody fly, or you go do whatever, and then you come back and like you know, I haven't charged batteries, and then you charge, and then you get sidetracked again, and then okay, I'm gonna go fly, and you end up, if you end up doing 3-4 flights, you're kind of lucky, you know?
So then before you know it, the sun's down and it's time for dinner and bed. But
yep.
No, Virginia was good. So like Bird said, if you guys have never been there, definitely check it out. It's a great event to go to. It's a lot of fun.
Definitely.
But, moving along, last weekend, which would have been, don't know the dates, but you and I went to Frank Mordillos and Rob McClellan's event in Homestead, Florida. The Smack Fest, I believe it was called.
That was quite the interesting event, let me tell you. First of all, let me start by saying this. I've lived in the central part of Florida since like 1989.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts it at what, like 29 years, almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Man, like Homestead, like anything south of like Palm Beach, like for people familiar with the geography in Florida, if you're on the east side of Florida, anything south of like Stuart, Florida, Jupiter, Florida, it's a different state.
I thought I was in a different state. It did not feel like Florida.
It's like a different country.
Yeah.
Actually.
It's crazy.
Like, first of all, you have got to speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you're a little bit screwed. Not totally, but a little bit. And just everything, just weird. It's just different. It's cool. It was cool. I had a good time. I have to admit, when I got there, I was like, we got there Friday, right? You got there like half an hour before me. And when I got there, like, I was like, really? Why did we even come here? Like, and I looked at Rob McToon, and I'm like thinking, this guy is like, he drove 20 6 hours to come here, and there's like three pilots here.
Yeah.
But as the weekend progressed, especially Saturday, I definitely changed my mind because it was a lot. I had a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun. It was a good time.
Yeah, more people showed up. People were hanging out and flying and getting some flights in. It was hot, though. You know, it's hot here in Orlando during the summer, but it was hot there.
Yeah, it was really hot. Hot and humid. It was like 90 degrees, like, consistently.
Yeah.
And then at night, it was barely dropping down to, like, what, 78, 77? Like, it was hot day and night. Yeah.
No.
And the bugs were terrible. Bugs were terrible.
It was crazy.
But the facility's really nice, and they have this nice runway on one side and then the heli side on the other. And it, like, I think Saturday they ended up breaking, like, I think Frank said 40-some pilots or something like that.
Pretty good.
Not totally sure.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But I had a great time. It's just such a good group everywhere we go anymore. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And Frank now's got his proper CD stuff from the AMA, so he's on his own. He can run an event without any help, so that's great. Congrats to Frank, and thanks for the hospitality. We had a really good time.
Yeah.
Not to mention the Spanish tequeños and the breakfast he brought me in the mornings. That was awesome.
Things were
awesome.
Crazy. But Homestead was good. Good group, good fun. But I don't know. We've been up to some other stuff BK Hobbies related. We have a new servo coming out.
Yeah.
That has been fully announced and fully shown, and it's almost ready to go to market.
Yeah. Couple more weeks.
BK DS 7003 and 7007. What do you think of that?
So what do you make of that?
It's pretty cool. There's some weirdo's name printed across it, though.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Some strange dude.
Yeah.
So what, so in your opinion, so Cyclic Servo, Kyle Stacey edition.
Hmm.
So what, why should someone consider that servo over what we have already? Like, what's your take on that?
Well, we took the 7002 and improved upon it. So it's a whole new servo from the ground up, basically. It's got a new case. It's a unique design that you did. The case shape is wild and looks crazy. So you get a new shape, new case design, and then also the internals are changed. So it's a little bit slower, but it's got more torque.
Yeah.
So it feels more locked into me and more precise.
It's also a matter of feel, too, because I'm sure there'll be people that will fly it, and I'm not saying they will dislike it, because there's nothing to really dislike about the servo.
Right.
But I'm sure there'll be people that would prefer the feel of a 7002 simply because it's faster.
Yeah, sure.
And there'll be people that prefer the feel of this because it's got the more torque, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I think it's a good compromise between torque and speed, for sure. It's perhaps the best compromise there.
Yeah. We've been working on it for a while, so it's cool to finally see it in its final stages and
get
it ready. But something cool that I like about it is it comes in packs of three, in a box with three servos. So if you're getting ready to build a new heli, you just buy that, pick up a tail servo, or if you already have one, then you're good to go.
Yeah, and some people have questioned, like, why aren't we not packaging it with a tail?
Hmm.
It's an easy answer. It's like, when we started thinking about it, it was like, well, do we put three servos in a box or do we put four? Some people would need four for a nitro.
Right.
But how many nitros are there?
Right.
And then do you bundle it with a tail? Well, what if somebody already has a tail and they don't care for that? They don't want a tail servo.
Right.
That's forcing someone to buy a servo they don't want.
Right.
So we felt like three cyclic servos in a box was the most sensible, most appropriate thing to do, the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's switching servos, they're going to need three at minimum. Right. And if they need more, then they just buy them separately.
Yeah, they are available separately. So if you build a nitro, you can buy three and then the extra four, as well as the tail servo. So
yeah, exactly.
So hopefully those will be out around November 1st. Just finalizing those. And a couple of our team guys are trying them out now, see what they think. So far, so good. Got some good reports on them.
Yep. And at Homestead, Justin Cook was flying them. I think so far he likes them.
Yep.
You've been flying them for a long time, and so have I.
Yeah, for a long time.
Uncle Ron just got a set.
Yep.
And
Christy Amonte. Bunch of dudes. So.
Bunch of our team guys. Some guys over in Europe, Valerio and Matt Lodge and Carlos and some other guys. So you guys will start seeing some flights soon and stuff like that, and that'd be cool. So going back to Homestead, man, I can't get over the fact that they brought this dinner Saturday.
Oh,
right?
The dinner.
The dinner was amazing. It really was. Yeah.
It was insane.
I mean, like roast pork and plantains. I mean, it was full fledged Cuban cuisine, you know, but so good, that, but
so,
solid.
So
good.
That was very Cuban, huh? Everything we ate there was very Cuban.
Absolutely. Yeah,
the rice was good. The plantains were incredible.
Oh yeah, everything was so good. Yeah. Did you even notice that they had like high end napkins and everything? Like, they didn't have the cheesy or paper towels. Like, they gave you like the proper like Vanity Fair napkins. I was like, whoa. Yeah, man. I mean, it was great. And you know, I never got a chance to hang out with the McQuillans as much as I did this weekend. And you know, I must say, Rob is a super nice guy. Awesome dude. Very helpful and a lot of fun to be around, and his kid equally. I mean, they're a great father and son team. So he was very helpful to Frank in the event and everything. And and man, that level of commitment to drive 20, 25, I don't know, 26 hours.
That's crazy.
Jesus Christ, that's crazy.
With a camper and everything. But Rob and Devin are good people. And Devin's a good pilot too.
Devin is an awesome. Yeah, he's an awesome pilot. Like he was flying Rob's jet, like nothing. Very comfortable, like, you know. Flying several thousand dollars around, like no problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been having issues with my jet with, I think we figure it out. It's all CG related. So I got to work on it.
Yeah.
It's all CG related. It's just a handful to land. It's too nose heavy. So.
Does it get unstable?
No, it just is very hard to slow down. Very, very hard to slow down. It wants to always dip the nose. So you have to keep holding and holding and holding elevator. And, you know, it's kind of challenging to do that while you're working with the throttle and having the delay you have. I mean, technically, for the people that know about jets, you know, I've kind of knew about this, but I never looked at it from this perspective, because when you learn to fly an airplane, you just, like an RC airplane, you just fly it. You don't think about it.
Yeah.
But like on a jet, when you start your pattern, you know your landing gear check and all that, and you make your turn to the downwind and the base and the final approach and landing, you control your descent rate with your throttle, not with your elevator. And your elevator just controls your flight attitude, which in turn controls, you know, your airspeed. So your speed is your elevator and your altitude is your throttle. You would think it's the other way around, but so when you have a nose heavy plane, the minute you start going down on the throttle to slow it down, it wants to dip the nose. So now you have to hold back elevator. And, you know, it's really tough to kind of hold that same attitude, you know, on the nose by just constantly holding elevator. So, and then not only that, when you get to that final approach, if you don't have the right speed, if you're just a hair too fast, then as soon as you touch down, it kind of wants to jump. It wants to go back up in the air.
Right.
And then you start doing this, how do you call that? This purposing, how would you call that?
Bunny hopping.
And that's bad on a jet, because a lot of people tend to just give it throttle, and that's the worst thing you can do, because like you give it throttle and you're just gonna like nose dive it at full throttle, because it's not there's the delay. But he was very helpful giving me some tips and pointers that I never even considered. Like sometimes, like thinking about certain things like that opens your mind to improving. And I'm kind of excited to change the CG on that thing if I can, and try it again. And then I started doing research on people that own that thing, and everybody's running the CG like an inch farther back than what I have mine. So definitely, definitely
makes sense.
Makes a big difference. And then we flew the Tortuga countless of times.
Tortuga.
And I let Devin and Rob both fly it and fly it and fly it. I mean, you know, they wanted to fly it, and I was having fun watching them fly it, because, you know, I trust them both. They're both really good pilots. And man, the sad story. You ready for the sad story? You missed it. You had just left.
I know.
So Sunday, we just basically, our idea was just to like come home. But I still had some packs charged, and I had two fresh packs for the Tortuga and one pack for my heli. And I asked Devin if he wanted to fly the plane, because I was burned out at that point. I just wanted to come home, but I didn't want to come home with charged packs. I hate discharging on a charger. And he's like, sure, I'll fly it. And we were all leaving. Literally, everything's packed. Everything's good to go. So it turns out that my launcher, in the front of the launcher, for the people that watch the video where I show how to build a launcher and all that, you probably noticed that I caught the 90-degree connector there. On top, so that when the plane leaves the launcher, it doesn't like hit that 90-degree connector. Well, the glue separated from it, and right as Devin pushed the pedal to launch it, like it was like an instant thing. The front separated, And basically the plane just went straight into that like piece of PVC that holds the vertical PVC in the front, mm-hmm. right into the wing, the leading edge. And it just destroyed the leading edge of the wing. So
no.
Very sad to crash a plane without even getting it in the air. That'll be like taking your heli to a fun fly and then the wind blowing and like knocking it off a table and like breaking it all up. Like done.
So not only did your plane break, but you still had to discharge them on the charger anyway.
Exactly. Double whammy.
No good. No good.
But the highlight you also missed, my highlight, was Saturday night. I was hanging with Frank and Steve Yoon. And you guys left. You and Paul and everybody left. And
well, I was babysitting a crippled Kyle doll.
Yeah, you need he to broke tell his that foot. Story.
Yeah, we'll get to that, but keep going.
So, like, everybody leaves, and by now it's, like, past midnight, and, like, we head back to, you know, the center little tent right there by the lights, and Frank brings out his Synergy 556 and his Nitro, and he's like, you need to fly this. I'm like, okay, if you fly, I fly. So he flew it. Mm-hmm. He flew it fine, and then he's like, okay, now you got to fly. I'm like, shit, okay. Needless to say, I had a couple of beverages ahead of time, but... to not say that I were irresponsible or anything, there was nobody around, mm-hmm. and we moved ourselves quite into the flight line, you know. And man, that thing flies great,
really.
But the funny thing is, Steve yells from way back there, he's like, can you crack it or something like that? Can you crack that thing? And man, I started shaking my thumb like as fast as I could, where my whole body was shaking. And I just flew it like that, you know, that like pyro flip shaking and some TikTok shaking. And like, and they went nuts, man. They thought that was like the coolest shit in the world. I don't know that they remember the crack era.
The crack is from like 2007, 2006.
I think that's Bodo old. Started. Yeah, yep. Bodo started that stuff. Yeah,
he did. Very old.
Yeah, and then Zabel took it to the next level, I remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we had a good time, and that Synergy flew really, really well. I was very impressed. Uh-huh. Small little Nitro 50 size, you know.
It's cool, yeah.
So... Frank's setup is like totally different than mine. Like his throttle hold is backwards. But it flew good. I just tweaked the tail a little bit to my speed, and like, yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. It was really good. So we had a great time. It was just a really good old time.
Good old time.
In the meantime, you go babysitting.
Yeah. So.
Or sick. How would you say? Babysitting. Let's leave it at that.
Nurturing a damaged squirrel is basically probably the best way to put it. on Friday, Kyle Dahl wasn't there, but I knew he was in the area. So I asked Gorgon, where's Kyle? He goes, I think he broke his leg or something like that. And I'm like, well, okay, you're just making up excuse. Maybe he's out partying, whatever. So Saturday morning comes, and Ron Thomas shows up with Kyle Dahl, and he gets out of the car with a big boot on his foot and walking in crutches, and... I thought Gorgon was joking, but he apparently was partially true. But Mr. Dahl apparently broke his foot at a bar, not doing anything fun. Someone, apparently the Incredible Hulk, stepped on his foot and broke it.
The funny thing, I bet you what it could have been. It's like it had to be like someone wearing like strong heels, like maybe like a girl with high heels, something like that. Something. But. They broke the bone pretty good, man. I mean, it's a solid break.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It's not like detached, like when I broke my arm to where like it would be obvious that he needs surgery.
Yeah,
but it's a good break, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So best wishes to Dahl for a quick recovery.
Yeah,
but obviously being in that situation, he needed a little bit of help.
So. Yeah. So Saturday when he wanted to fly, I was being a nice guy and filling up his. Heli with fuel, putting the canopy on, starting it, carrying it around.
Yep, I saw that. We saw it on a video. Yeah,
I was being a nice guy. So Saturday night comes along, and Ron Thomas goes, all right, I got to go. He's yours now. I said, what? He's like, yeah, Kyle's your responsibility. I got to go see you. Boom, gone. So now I have Mr. Dahl, who's in crutches and high as a kite on some pain pills. And he wanted to leave the field and go to Buffalo Wild Wings because apparently he had the munchies from the hydrocodone, whatever stuff he was on. So I couldn't stick around for flying because he wanted to go have chicken wings and go back to the hotel. But it was quite the scenario dealing with him and his neediness. I will definitely tell him every time I see him that he was very needy that weekend. But crazy. You broke your airplane. Kyle broke his foot. Someone hit our flag. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Somebody hit our flag.
Yeah.
Not not necessary to mention any names. It could have happened to any of us.
Yeah.
But man, he ran into a flag, that flag at like a decent amount of speed.
Yeah.
Like,
with a 700 size heli right into
it. Yeah. Well, we already have experience with that because our own Uncle Ron did that before. he did it with a fireball, so the damage was not as bad.
Quite different.
Boy. The flag incident.
Not gonna name any names because he feels really bad. But
yeah, and he's a good pilot too, man. Not to say like I mean it happens to everybody. And the wind was blowing from a bad direction.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
And the flight line was too close to the pits. And that very first day, Frank pushed it out afterwards, which was a good deal. So
yeah, but thankfully no one got hurt. So
yeah,
just the flag, but it's all good. We can repair it. No worries. Yep. No worries. But.
So, what about this helicopters? The helicopter that you flew the most while there.
The Goblin Havoc Edition? Yeah. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, the Havoc Edition.
The Havoc Edition. Well, for those of you who apparently have not heard, SAB just released the latest and greatest model, which is a Goblin Thundersport with a three-bladed matte black rotor head and a Havoc scheme. And for those of you that still don't know what the Havoc is, that is one of the turbines that SAB Avio has just released. So,
yeah, one of the planes that SAB Avio will be releasing, yeah.
Yeah, so this helicopter comes in the same scheme, along with the matte finish. There's no glossy clear coat.
Yeah, they say it's camo, but it's not.
It's not very camo. It doesn't blend in with anything.
It kind of is a little bit of camo, but not the color is not. The pattern is kind of a little bit.
The pattern is camo, but it's bright, bright, bright yellow. But
it's very matte.
Very.
And which I have to admit, I love the look of it because it's so different. You know, I used to have a matte color car in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that car to death. Like, mm-hmm. There's something about the matte paint. I had a Harley motorcycle, too, that had, they call it a denim paint, mm-hmm. denim black, they called it, which was matte black. But, man, to keep it looking clean, you have got to, you just got to take care of it. You got to be somebody like, let me think of someone. You have to be like a Todd Dudek or somebody like that. That really like takes care of their stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And you and I are not that way. We're both like throw it, toss it in there and like, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, let it do 13 rolls on the way to the field. Yeah.
But if you take care of it, it's a beautiful paint scheme. Yeah. Beautiful paint scheme.
It's cool.
And some people have asked if there's going to be canopies and booms. Yeah, down the road, I believe. Mm-hmm. SAB hasn't confirmed dates, but yeah, we will have them. Some people have asked if they're going to be available on Nitro.
No.
I personally encouraged SAB not to make it for Nitro because it is not... Man, just imagine that matte paint. How do you clean it?
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
I don't think you can. It's not like a gloss where you can just spray Simple Green or alcohol on it and just wipe it down. It looks brand new. Like, it's very... It's not delicate, but it's not as resilient.
But, you know, on the other hand, there'd be people that would say that they actually like it when it wears a little bit because it shows kind of like the distressed look, you know, that's kind of like the whole point of it, right?
I guess.
Like, I know the guys that ride motorcycles, like the ones that have the denim paint, like the Harley riders and stuff, that the more screwed up the paint gets over the years, the happier they are because it looks like it looks the part. It looks distressed. It looks, you know.
It's been ridden hard,
Yeah, and I guess that's the same with this, but like I don't think that Nitro would be.
Mm-mm.
I don't think that put like having Nitro all over this canopy would be a good idea. Because one thing is to have it like scratch a little bit and just show wear and tear over the course of time, and another thing would be like deliberately getting it full of Nitro. I think I think it would hurt it. I think it would hurt the paint.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful scheme. I think it's cool.
It's cool. Flies good. So if you've ever wanted a three-blade heli in a kit, that's the one to go for. The Kyle Stacey edition that came out almost 4 years ago now, it's kind of outdated. It's the old competition frame and the polished black look. So this one's the matte black look. It's got the Thundersport G10 frames. So
yeah, that was polished black, and it had the big frames.
Big frames.
Like the competition style, right?
Yeah, tall with carbon canopy and boom, but... There's a more refined, updated, and lighter version. But also, There's been a fireball havoc.
And three bladed tail too.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, three bladed tail. But alongside it now is the fireball havoc, which is the same scheme, put down a little fireball with some added upgrades like the servo mounts, the grip arms, some other stuff thrown in, I think. Some yellow tail blades, maybe.
Servo mounts? Did you mention that?
Yep. Yeah. I think the tail blade, or the tail slider, perhaps?
Yeah, I think something so. Comes with a competition motor already.
Yes.
Of course, and the blades and the servos. And yep. So it's pretty much almost fully upgraded package, I would say. Yeah. Out of the box.
Yeah. Pretty pimped out. And it's got the cool scheme, so. Yeah. Those two helis are out.
Unfortunately, we're out of stock again. But within literally within 3 days of release, we were out of stock.
Yeah, we got a lot of them, and they all disappeared.
Considering that we got a bunch of them, we were out of stock.
Yeah.
But we expect a shipment hopefully in the next 7 to 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to know if they're going to be made in a two blade configuration. We haven't been told. Sometimes SAB keeps things a little bit on the secret side. Mm-hmm. I don't personally think so, at least not in the very near foreseeable future.
Right.
But, you know, I always hated three bladed helicopters. You know,
I remember. I always hated it. Yeah, yeah.
And, I must confess, I like this thing. It flies well.
Yeah.
It flies really good. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I don't want to say anything bad about the flabberless system I was flying in the past. Because I really liked how the Spartan flew all my helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the Spartan could handle the three-blade setup to save its life.
It's a very different setup.
Yeah, and I always struggled with either a head, high-gain head symptoms where it would shake or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I lowered the gain, it was going all the way. It was going from like too much gain to too little gain. I never found a spot where it felt locked in,
right?
With the right gain.
Mm-hmm.
With the Neo, with the V bar, you told me dial it at 40. It's perfect.
Done.
Spot on. Yeah. And it is such a different feel because you feel like it kind of fights you through things, but once you get used to it, it does feel more locked in the air for sure.
It's like flying on rails. Another important thing with three blade is dampening. When I built this one for you, since I've built 100 of these heads, I know what dampening system works the best. I'm going to do a video on it here soon, but dampening is also very crucial on three blade. You definitely want stiffer, basically no dampening at all. So I'll do a video explaining that, how to get it tuned in right, but as little dampening as possible works best to eliminate bobbles, at least.
Yeah, to eliminate the bobble.
Yeah.
But it tracks great. It feels very locked in. And I was surprised that it actually does pretty good smack, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sluggish or anything. Because that's one of the complaints I had before when I flew the Kyle Stacy. Before the Kyle Stacy. I don't think I ever flew the Kyle Stacy edition.
Yeah, one.
But I flew the first Urukai I flew with the three-bladed head in Italy years ago. My complaint was the lack of cyclic authority. Like, it was very slow moving off center. Yeah. And I know SAB's made a lot of changes to their blades ever since. I know blade weight has a lot to do with that, blade balance and everything else, CG. But yeah, I'm happy with it. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
So if people are hesitant about the three-bladed, and you know, three-bladed head goes against everything that I've always predicated about the hobby, like try to make things simpler and easier. Uh-huh. You know, you're adding parts instead of removing parts, but it is cool and it sounds awesome.
It's different. It sounds awesome. Yeah, it's different. It's got a whole different feel. If you've never tried it, give it a shot. It's definitely more stable, more locked in, like Bert said, so it's just different.
And it sounds awesome. It
sounds like a Ferrari.
Yeah, it kind of does. It sounds like a race car, no doubt.
Yeah, but...
Cool.
Well, what else can we cover? That's the Havoc. That's the events we've been to. What's coming up? What's coming up soon for us? We might be going to Arizona, perhaps? Maybe?
We're supposed to.
Our names are on the list. We haven't booked any tickets yet, as of now, but...
If the workload allows.
Correct.
The workload allows.
Yep.
We'll figure it out.
Other than that, the Torches Winter Bash.
Torches Winter Bash.
We'll be there.
Absolutely.
Yep, that's the first weekend of December.
Yeah, we've talked about it for quite a while now. You guys have got to go.
Mm-hmm.
It is not OHB. Mm-mm. It's not going to be anything like it, but it's still going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be in the same field. And hopefully Gator will be able to show up for this one. What do you think?
He's been a busy guy. But either way, his partner in crime, Mr. Bobby Watts from Watts Innovations, will be there. co-running the show together. So
yeah,
it'll be fun. It's going to be a more laid-back event. It's not going to be OHB. It's not going to be so commercialized. It's going to be a just come out, have fun, fly.
I picture it like the spring event that we've always done, but like with a lot more people. Right. That's how I picture it. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And for those of you that never went to OHB, it was a big event, real big. Hundreds of pilots, demos, sponsored demos, sponsored pilots, and everything. This is just going to be more laid back. It's going to be Orlando in December, so it's going to be hopefully great weather.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Yeah. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
So what else is coming? Is that it?
I think. Till the end of the year. We just got that. Possibly Arizona. What do we got coming out? Kyle Stacy servos are coming out.
Yeah.
Hopefully, maybe some more SAB stuff. Won't be coming out, but maybe some more developments with the Kraken, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe we will have some news between now and December about a new ETA or an update to what's going on there.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll have some switchblades in stock very soon, finally, after a long time.
Yeah.
What else?
I don't know. It's kind of it.
You got to get rid of that phone between now and then, too.
Stop it. This phone is sick. My Note 9 poops all over your iPhone 10.
Okay.
Yeah, it does.
So, let's leave it at that.
Well, this has been episode what? 20?
This is number 20. Banter. 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 Banter number one, because we'll do a lot of banters in the future. You know what's tough is coming up with ideas. Like, that's always been tough. Yes. And, like, to use an entire, like, 45-minute to an hour episode talking about a certain topic is pretty tough, too.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And we've been given some good ideas, and we're going to definitely do those in the future. So thank you to those of you who have given us ideas. We're just going to figure out a way to work them in.
Yeah.
And fill up the time frame. But for now, we're just going to be doing some banter on this one.
Yeah, and we'll do an episode soon, too, where we'll just go over some of the comments and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We appreciate all the feedback and all the encouragement and all the support.
You know what we should do?
Yeah.
We should do another live one soon.
Yeah, we could do a live one.
If you guys want to see a live one, let us know. If you missed it, we did a live podcast on our Facebook page, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was one of the first episodes we did. It was live. Yeah. It worked out well. Worked out really well.
You ask questions, we answer them, we have a good time. It's cool.
Cool.
All right, well.
Well, Kyle, what's your Instagram address?
At Kyle Stacy.
Nice.
Yeah. And Facebook.com/KyleStacyRC.
Nice.
You?
You can get a hold of us at Instagram, TheBKOfficial. Facebook is TheBKOfficial. And I am available on Instagram at Bert_Kammer or Facebook.com/BertRC.
Yep.
Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you hanging with us while we talk nonsense and nothing productive. And you'll hear again from us in 1 week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
See you later.